Blog Talk Radio. That's actually a different opening than I thought I had selected. So, my name is Holly Knight, and I'm the host. This is Prism Radio, and this is the 96th Prism Radio show. That's PRISM, and started back in June 2010. I've been doing shows off and on since then. And so tonight, the title is What We Can All Learn from Gandhi's 10 Rules for Changing the World. Excuse me. Losing my voice, sounds like just perfect timing. And before we get started, I'm going to kind of go over a couple of things, but want to talk about tonight's show, and then we'll kind of do a little bit of a disclaimer. So just a second, and we'll kind of let me do the disclaimer first so I can maybe clear my throat. So let's take care of that here in a second. Aware that the opinions of our guests and our live callers is just that, their opinions, and may or may not reflect upon the opinions or views of Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, Holly Knight, or Julie Millwood. Also, although this show is usually suited for all ages, we do recommend that anyone under the age of 16 be accompanied with a parent or guardian. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know, and you can find more information on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Thank you. Welcome back, and we are at Prism Radio. This is Holly Knight, and we're going to talk about change tonight, mostly in association with change with the transgender community. But for the most part, we're going to talk about three people: Helen Keller, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Gandhi. We're going to talk about their experiences and what they had to say about change, what they had to say about life, and that type of thing, and pretty much try to relate that to what we're going through right now in the transgender community. So clearly, we're not the first group of people that have had to try to change the world to make our lives better. These three people were in a situation where either for multiple reasons, most of them not only tried to fight for rights that directly involved them, like Helen Keller, for blindness, but she also fought for other groups' rights. And Eleanor was one of the, of course, she fought for women's rights, but also for African-American Asian rights. And then Gandhi for his country and for freedom for many people. So, and they all kind of different approach, but one of the things is that I talked about at one point is the adversity all three of them went through. And I think how that has a tendency to really shape people. It's kind of either breaker or shape people or break them. But how that shaped them so much. And we talk about all the time about privilege. I do think that privilege has its negative sides in that it doesn't necessarily test a person very much. It doesn't shape a person in a sense where it gives them some adversity. I think that lack of privilege and adversity kind of goes hand in hand. And those that are transgender can definitely relate to the three things that are these three people in a sense of adversity and for many different things. I'm not saying that any of them had more or less per se, but clearly Helen Keller had quite a bit of adversity that would be difficult to say that hers wasn't at the extreme level. But all three of them, it's really interesting. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but all three of them are smiling in the pictures. And all three of them experienced so much pain, but come through that with so much love and so much positive energy and through not anger or hate. And one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is some of the things that each one of them said. Then we're going to get to Gandhi's 10 rules. It wasn't actually Gandhi didn't come up with the 10 rules. It was by a writer in an article based on what Gandhi said. But there is so much. Eleanor Roosevelt later, there's a part that she mentions. But there is so much in the transgender community that we have so many that hate back because they were hated. And these three people clearly did not hate back. And, of course, there's other people that have experienced adversity and that were great leaders and passive type of leaders. And, of course, Dr. King and some other really amazing people. But I really wanted to highlight these three and what they had to say about many things. So I'm going to do another little bit of a break here before we get started so you know how to call in and what you can do in that regard. So we'll be back here in a second. Hey there. Did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. We're talking about change and how to be positive in the direction of change and how we go about change. Eleanor Roosevelt said we can learn it from mistakes of others. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself. So she says, to say again, learn from the mistake of others. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself. So one of the things is, I think, that over the years, I have noticed, I'm not sure it's an age thing, but there's some things in the transgender community, internally, in our community that goes on. And it is two things that I think is a concern of mine. And honestly, it's coming from my age and coming from a perspective of age, and that is a little bit different. But one of the things is that you hear a lot, and some of these talked about in this a little bit, but I think it's misrepresented sometimes, is how we are, we have to be ourselves, we have to take our own path, but that sometimes misrepresents in the sense that there's a lot of people, and again, that's one of the things, is these three people walked this planet before all of us. I mean, I think all three of them were born before the turn of 1900, all three of them are gone, of course, and they lived a lot of information and experience that can pass along. And quite honestly, you can almost talk about it in reverse, what Eleanor said about learning from mistakes, but learning from the successes, learning from other people. And the trans community is so bad, it seems like, in saying, I'm on this journey by myself. I have to do this by myself. And nobody can tell me how to do this and that type of thing. It's this kind of almost this non-conforming attitude. And I know there is a non-conforming component to being transgender just for the sake of it, but it's almost like this black and white non-conforming. I will not conform to anything, even internally. And there's people, and we talk about all the time, and that's one of the things in our banquet we want to do is recognize people that have walked these paths, walked these steps before us. And I will say, in the city of Louisville, we are very, very blessed with a lot of freedoms as transgender people, of which none of these freedoms came from people that are currently activists. Well, let me put it this way. There are some of them, but let me put it another way. There are so many that were activists back in the 90s, let's say, maybe even the 80s, but for sure in the 90s, that paved the way for these freedoms. And they experienced adversity way beyond what we experience today. And that there's experiences out there that completely gets overlooked. And I think it's a combination of youth. I think we have a tendency to admire youth in our community, maybe too much, in my opinion. And again, it's coming from an old person. But someone that's 16 years old may have a lot of qualities that we want to listen to, but doesn't necessarily mean that that person has really any experience in I'm going to say, the real world. And even college people doesn't necessarily have experience in the real world, what it's really like for people trying to make a living every day and try to get out there to be in a situation at college where things are kind of protected. And I'm saying that from a perspective of someone that was a college educator and as a college coach for nearly 30 years. I was around people that age all the time, and I don't think it's necessarily unique to trans people and that they think that they know everything. And they think that they have nobody's going to tell them necessarily what to do, and they fight that all the time. And I think that there are some characteristics of that that helps us, but it can't be what is driving us. I think we have to take people that's been this, walk this path before us to give us some direction. You can't keep making your own mistakes. You have to learn from other people's mistakes. And yes, sometimes those mistakes before may not apply to today, but goodness, we're going to keep spinning our wheels and doing it all over again every single time we try to do something if we don't try to learn from these people. So not only learning from the mistakes of others, as Eleanor said, because you can't live long enough and we're not going to get anywhere if we don't try to learn from the mistakes of others, but from the successes also. And some of these are timeless. I mean, it's just amazing, some of the things that were said here that you hear from people and as you experience life and you deal with this. So, again, feel free to call in. It's 914-205-5655. If you want to make a comment, I'm going to try to watch the Facebook. If you go to the event page for this particular show, it's on the Prism Radio Facebook page. You can find it on there. And I'm going to watch that. But there's also a chat on this show page where if you're listening live, that if you find the chat, I don't really know what it looks like, honestly, on your side. But you can go into there and you can comment there. I'll be watching that as well. So the first person we're going to talk about a little bit is Helen Keller. And, of course, most people know that name, I would think. If you don't know, shame on you. There's some information in Wikipedia if you just look it up, and there's a lot of information here. But she was born Helen Adams Keller in June of 1880 in Tuscumbia, Alabama. She was an American author, political activist, and lecturer. Helen was the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor's of Arts degree. And there's actually a movie about her that's pretty painful to watch, but the experiences for her to learn how to exist in the sighted world and the world of people that could hear and could see. So this is taken from Wikipedia. It says, Keller went on to become a world-famous speaker and author. She is remembered as an advocate for people with disabilities amid numerous other causes. She was suffragist, a pacifist, an opponent to Woodrow Wilson, a radical socialist, and a birth control supporter. In 1915, she and George Kessler founded the Helen Keller International, HKI, organization. This organization is devoted to research in vision, health, and nutrition. In 1920, she helped to found the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. Keller traveled to over 40 countries with Sullivan, making several trips to Japan and becoming a favorite of the Japanese people. Keller met every U.S. president from Grover Cleveland to Lyndon B. Johnson and was friends with many famous figures, including Alexander Graham Bell, Charles Chaplin, and Mark Twain. Keller and Twain were both considered radicals at the beginning of the 20th century, and as a consequence, their political views has been forgotten or glossed over in the popular mind. Keller is one of my personal all-time heroes. Some of her quotes are just absolutely amazing. Here are some of them. This is taken from quotation page. Here's some quotes that she had. And I'm going to comment on each one of them, as, again, pretty much as it relates to our community in the transgender world, the transgender community. This is the first quote. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming of it. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Now, actually, that I messed that up on my notes here. That's two different quotes. First one, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it. You know, I'm going to comment, Facebook is really amazing in a lot of ways. But, and I say this a lot in my little world that I exist, is that if you look at our pages that were in here, there's a lot of posting about the hate toward transgender people, and it wears me out. It really, and a lot of times I don't want to read it because, yes, I mean, nobody has to tell anybody that there's hate toward trans people, toward LGBT people, toward people of color, toward people of all kinds of walk, that walk, redheads, heavy people, skinny people, rich people, poor people, white people, whatever. There is hate, but instead of highlighting the hate and people reading that, and then you see the comments like, we're never going to get anywhere, and it almost kind of continues to build this defeatist attitude that we're not going to get anywhere, and we are making so many strides, so much, and there is positive out there. If I could say, I mean, I'm not sure if it really helps, at least in our community, at least in our pages, if we post negative stuff. And if you post negative stuff, maybe post one of every five that you see, because it just continues and where it goes from there. So if you see something negative, post positive. I mean, it just drives me crazy. There is suffering, there's hate, there's all kinds of things, but we are overcoming this, and we keep pounding away and keep looking at the positive. Internally, we have to think of the positive. We have to not think of the negative. We can't be defeated internally. We have to be positive. She says, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Obviously, she knows what she's talking about here, ease and quiet. There wasn't any aspect of her, there was some quiet, I guess, and stuff, but only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Okay, this is the old coach in me, but one of the things I did, and I was pretty successful at coaching, of trying to get a group of people to go in a direction in a certain way. And one of the things is that I learned from an old coach way before me, a highly successful, one of the most successful college coaches in all time, is that this coach would talk often about how you wanted to prepare that team for the postseason for adversity. And this was in baseball. And so it would be like you wanted the team to play in the cold, in the heat, in the rain, in the dry, in the windy, in the sunny, in the good days, the bad days, and all those days. So that when you got to that point, then you would be prepared a little bit better. It wasn't new to you. You had to get them through some adversity. And I think it goes hand in hand with life in a lot of ways that we deal with, is that once you get through some things, then it can make you better. I do know that it does beat some people down, but looking at adversity as a way to become stronger, as a way to be a better person, is so much better and so much more uplifting for everyone. And those that go through adversity, look at these three people. And I know, Eleanor, you think, well, we'll talk about a little bit later, didn't go through adversity as a, she was the first lady of for four terms. And we think of that family, Roosevelt and stuff, but there was some adversity she went through. But how much better that can make you. Another quote, I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble. The world is moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of tiny pushes of each honest worker. You know, you could almost have a show on just this one quote and the significance of this and where she comes from. And she longed to accomplish a great and noble task. Clearly she did. Clearly she was able to accomplish so much. But how much people feel sometimes that they're not doing anything. And there's the movement of freedoms and acceptance in society by transgender people is done by so many people. It isn't by one person. It isn't one radio show, or it isn't one organization, or it isn't one group or one church or one company. It's just everyone doing these little tiny pushes of each honest worker. Quite impressive. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Security does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than exposure. There's an old quote that is one of my favorite quotes. It says something like, ships, like a boat, ships are safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. I don't think that's what we're for. I think it's safe. And again, this isn't necessarily coming out of the closet or anything, but I think that there are people that exist in fear. I know I did. I remember so long, and I'm not trying to get people to walk out of the closet. I think you have to do that on your own time and when you're ready. But fear can be so destructive. And in my case, a couple of the situations, the closet was opened by other people and forced me out. And in some ways was a benefit, in some ways was a positive, in many ways was. There's loss no matter what you do. There's loss if you stay in the closet, and there's loss if you get out. But anyway, the daring adventure or nothing, pretty cool. Many persons have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity or to a worthy purpose. You can tell people that have the agenda of uplifting themselves versus people that have the desire to help the community, and they try to build up different things. And one of the things that happens, honestly, is when you do things, it does put you in a limelight a little bit, but you can't do it for you, for the reason. You have to have a bigger reason, see the bigger picture, because then your personal views come out there quite often. So trying to see what is best for the group and what for the community is more important, and what you do for other people. One of the things in all three of these people, they talk about doing things for other people and how important that is. The last one I have for her, she says, self-pity is our worst enemy. And if we yield to it, we can never do anything good in the world. Yeah, and we talk about this, or we hear this a lot of stuff, a lot of people feeling sorry for themselves. And clearly, this is a person that was blind and deaf in the late 1800s, was the first person in that situation in her disability to get a degree in college, get a bachelor's degree. And you can't achieve things in that adversity with self-pity. You just can't do that. and you can wallow in it. You can become very, very destructive, self-destructive in this self-pity, and it just continues. I remember, again, I refer to a lot of things in sports because that was my most of my life until I transitioned for the mostly. And when I was in college, I was a junior, and no, I was a sophomore. I'm sorry. We got a freshman pitcher on the baseball team and the basketball. I played baseball and basketball in college, and we had a freshman pitcher. He was a kid from St. Louis area and was left-handed, but he had one arm. And his right arm went down to past his elbow. And he actually played basketball on the JV team. I was on the varsity team my sophomore year, and he was probably better than I was. But he was pretty phenomenal, led the JV team in scoring and I think field goal percentage. And he had one arm to play basketball. He pitched on the baseball team, and which he could field his position. He was pretty incredible. And he never showed any self-pity, not one bit. And I remember twisting my ankle, and I felt like, well, I can't feel sorry for myself because I can't play when we have someone here that only has one arm and is beating everybody else on the field and on the floor, and he only has one arm. And how I noticed how determined and how the lack of self-pity that this kid had, and it was just quite amazing. Actually, there's another comment. She says, the highest result of education is tolerance. And this is pretty much my personal mission with tolerance of transgender people. And maybe that's all we can hope for. I think there's a higher level of tolerance. That's tolerance would be maybe acceptance would be the same thing as acceptance. I would personally feel it would be amazing. And I do have friends that are beyond tolerance of me, that they love me for who I am. And excuse me, I do have friends that I think that they actually think that I am there's a special quality, and I think this around a lot of trans people, especially those that go through without the self-pity, and they go through with strength of character of how much they are better as human beings because of them being transgender and what they do for the world because they are transgender that they may not have been able to do if they weren't. And so the education is the highest result of education is tolerance. And again, that's huge. That's the number one thing. That's what Trans Women National is about. That's what I think it is about. I don't think we can necessarily get acceptance through legal means, although that's important. I think we have to get acceptance through education and tolerance through education. Okay, I'm going to take a break here. We're going to talk about Eleanor Roosevelt for a minute. And we're going to talk about the banquet we got coming up in November. Be right back. Hello, this is Holly, and I'm reminding you about this year's Trans Women National Banquet. Wait, you didn't know about it? What is our first annual awards banquet during the Louisville Transgender Week of Awareness in November? It will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville with none other than the internationally famous Dr. Marcy Bowers as our keynote speaker on November 21st at 6:30 p.m. We are pleased to announce that Brian Buford and Chris Hartman will receive our very first Ally Award, and Dawn Wilson will receive our very first TWN Purple Butterfly Award. Jason Gardner and Simone Taylor will be our MCs for the evening, of which will be worth the ticket price alone. The banquet will be held at the gorgeous Banquet Hall at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville, and our reception will be at the top of the Hyatt in a breathtaking revolving restaurant called The Spire. Tickets are on sale now. Please go to our website at transwomennational.org for more information. Thank you, and hope to see you there. welcome back to the show. This is Holly Knight, and we are with Prism Radio, show number 96. We're talking about change. We're talking about how three people affected change in their day for different reasons, different things, more in a positive, loving, not a hating way. And we've already talked about Helen Keller. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Eleanor Roosevelt. And you can read again about her. Of course, you can find information about her pretty easily. But she was born October 11, 1884, and was the longest-serving First Lady of the United States during her husband Franklin D. Roosevelt's four terms. And she had some adversity early in her life where both her parents and one of her brothers died. So this is what Wikipedia said a little bit about her. Said her mother died from diphtheria on December 7th, 1892. Let's see, she was 1892, so gosh, she was 8 years old. And Elliot Jr. died of the same disease the following May. Her father, an alcoholic confined to a sanatorium, died August 14th, 1894, after he jumped from a window during a fit of delirium tremors, delirium. He survived the fall but died from seizure. His brother, Hall, would also suffer from alcoholism. Eleanor's childhood loss left her prone to depression throughout her life. Though widely respected in her later years, Roosevelt was a controversial first lady for her outspokenness, particularly her stance on racial issues. She was the first presidential spouse to hold press conferences, write a syndicated newspaper column, and speak at a national convention. On a few occasions, she publicly disagreed with her husband's policies. She launched an experimental column at Otterdale, West Virginia, for the families of unemployed miners, later widely regarded as a failure. Catered for expanded roles for women in the workplace, the civil rights of African Americans and Asian Americans, and the rights of World War II refugees. Following her husband's death, Eleanor remained active in politics for the rest of her life. She pressed the United States to join and support the United Nations and became one of the first delegates. She served as the first chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights and oversaw the drafting of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Later, she chaired the John F. Kennedy Administration's Presidential Commission on the Status of Women. By the time of her death, she was regarded as one of the most esteemed women of the world. She was called the object of almost universal respect in a New York Times obituary. In 1999, she was ranked ninth in the top 10 of Gallup's list of most widely admired people of the 20th century. Wow. Wow. Pretty amazing lady. Pretty amazing lady. And again, I think her issue, the problems she had to deal with at a very, very young age to survive through that. And if you've gone through any of those type of things, then you know how difficult that is. And on top of that, she, of course, her husband, president, I mean, how many didn't cheat? And so she handled that. So it, I guess it doesn't, isn't a shock that she disagreed with him on many occasions. So here's some quotes that she had. Friendship with oneself is all important because without it, one cannot be friends with another, with anyone else in the world. You know, I think this is misunderstood a lot of times. This is just my opinion, of course. And I think you have to love yourself, but you can't just be in love with yourself to the point where that's all you care about. I think you have to accept yourself. Friendship, I think it's, if you want to look at it, at the word, I really like the way she puts it, instead of love yourself or like yourself even, or that type of thing. But friendship, like, I've got friends, I probably don't agree 100% with all of them, what they stand for, what they do, but I accept them as friends and I care about them as friends. And sometimes I think if you just, I think you have to accept yourself, but there are things that we are flawed, but we all can work on flaws. And we can't just blanketly accept flaws without any effort, I think, sometimes to make things better. But so I think they're like one of my best friends, she was great for me, is that she cares for me, she loves me. But there were times she would have to tell me some things, especially early in my transitioning, a cisgender girl, that really helped me a lot. And if I would give any advice to those trans women out there that are transitioning early, and it's not very easy, but I was extremely lucky. I didn't go looking for it. It just happened. But I connected with someone that was so important for me to learn how to live as a woman in a lot of ways. But she was also times where she would tell me things about my makeup, my hair, my clothes. She would tell me some things that I need to be told that really good friends can do and do it very, very well. And and I know that trans people can do that, but a lot of times trans people it's difficult for one trans woman to say to another trans woman and be critical because it feels like it's more competition maybe sometimes and everything. But you got to have, that's one of the things that cisgender girls grow up, they have these role models that they exist in their mom or their sisters or aunts or friends or teachers or somebody that they can kind of, or a combination of all that, and learn from. But being friends with yourself, accepting yourself with flaws, but still trying to make yourself better. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Yeah, we're all guilty of talking about people, and the less I know that I do that, the better I feel about myself. The more I do that, the worse I feel, and I really fight it sometimes because people really piss me off sometimes. But arrogant people, righteous people, judgmental people, bad drivers, that type of thing. But anyway, good advice. The next one, I think that somehow we learn who we really are and then live with that decision. How many transgender people go through that? And I know that there's these kind of phases that we go through where we have this thing. I think that's almost like this evolution of why me? What's wrong with me? What did I do? What am I? What's wrong? You know, all those things. And then at some point, we kind of figure that out. And then at some point, we may never figure it out, but we say, well, this is who I am. And we can make ourselves better, but we still accept that this is the type of person I am. This is what I am. I mean, I think that's a little derogatory, but it's partly, honestly, I don't think who I am is because, I don't think who I am is transgender. I think what I am is transgender, and who I am has a lot of stuff. A lot of history, a lot of things that has nothing to do with my gender identity. That's who I am. It has a lot to do with my spirituality, has a lot to do with my family, and it has a lot to do with my friends, and it has a lot to do with my personal views on things, but it really has nothing to do with my gender identity, and it just is part of what I am, not necessarily and part of who I am, but isn't all of who I am. She said, justice cannot be for one side alone, but must be for both. She's speaking of some things, of course, politically, most likely is what she's talking about because she was a political figure. And I think in our world, and transgender world, there is a lot of political things that we have to deal with. But it wears me out. It just absolutely wears me out where we are so hypocritical in so many ways. So it is my belief that really one of the main things we're trying to fight for is the freedom and right legally and socially to be who we are as transgender people. But because of that, in all kinds of levels, we have so many people in the transgender community that will not allow other people to express themselves as who they are. It's completely hypocritical. If you want to be accepted as a person in this society that is clearly, and this is the thing you got to get past, is clearly is a unique situation to 95% of the world, they don't live this life. They don't know. There's a lot of people that do not know transgender, let's say 80%, depends on what study you see, has never even met a transgender person. And all they want to know is, and they want to understand, they want to get it. There's not that many that hate us. They just don't get it. But you can't walk around expecting all these people just to bow down to you because you say that you deserve these things. And you have to at least, there's a quote, and I think it's Gandhi says it later, similar to this type of thing. But you have to allow people to disagree with you if you want people to accept you, because they may disagree with you, and you want your right to say what you think is right. And so we're not going to get anywhere if we don't allow people to say what they think, even though it may be wrong, even though it may be whatever. They have to say what they have to have that right. She also said, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. I'll say this again. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along, the thing that you think you cannot do. Goodness gracious, you can put that into the mind of almost every transgender person that experiences, especially over a certain age. Maybe the younger ones don't have to deal with this fear as much. And I'm not talking about fear of getting hurt, because there is a considerable amount of violence toward us. It's just the fear of being accepted, the fear of being read, those type of things. I know for me, when I started existing in society, I remember the first step, and I talk about a lot of times, but I remember I couldn't even walk out of my door the first time. I was scared to walk by my window at home. I was so deep in the closet. But I wanted to get out so bad, and then I would like go in the backyard and afraid that the neighbors would see me. So I went in the dark, and then I went to hotels, then I drove, and then each step along the way, and then I started getting out in public. And I remember at that point, each step along the way, it was scary, but it was easier because I took the step before. And I remember also that if I took a period of time, let's say I actually went somewhere, let's say to a store or a gay bar, I was afraid to go to gay bars. At one time, I was afraid to go anywhere in public that they were going to see me. And I remember if I went a period of time without going, then I was a little bit more afraid. But each step along the way, I got more courage. I gained strength, as she said. I gained strength. I gained courage. I gained confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next step that comes along. You must do the thing you cannot do. She's experiencing this as a cisgender woman in her time about things, and has nothing to do with transgender and everything to do with being transgender. It's absolutely incredible how that relates. And each step along the way, you can't walk out that first time expecting to get a job. And there's an old friend of mine, not old, she's actually younger than I, but she's transitioned before I did and was kind of a mentor and made a comment, you got to become comfortable in your own skin. Being transgender is so much more than just putting clothes on of the person you identify. It's being comfortable as that person, is existing as that person, to the point where, and we got to go through, because I remember the first few times I got mammed, that was great, but to the point where that becomes natural. You can't do that the first week. You can't do it the first year necessarily. There's a period of time that it becomes natural and you become natural. That's when it becomes, that's who you are. And that at least that's who some of you may be. Some of you may not be that person, but that's fine. So you must do the thing that you think you cannot do. Pretty cool. She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. There's been so many different things said about this. The opposite is that words do hurt. Words do hurt. And as much as we want to say that we are strong and nobody can make us feel inferior without our consent, I think those are easy words to say. And but there are words that we have to develop some strength, some courage and experience to get through those things. And the inferior part is bull, P people are going to try to make you inferior, because usually bullies, that's who's going to be doing it. They're going to try to make you feel inferior because that makes them feel superior. And don't take that at heart. Almost reverse the, it's almost a pity. It's almost feeling sad for that person, not the anger. Don't retaliate. In my opinion, it's not going to do any good. Just, you know, let it, it probably does a whole lot more good that if they say something, you just completely ignore it like it didn't bother you. It may bother you inside, but don't show it and go away usually. Next one, she says, people grow through experience if they meet life honestly and courageously. That is how character is built. Pretty much one of some of the same things that Helen said, talking about experience with honesty and courage and character. I'm not sure it's possible to have character without some adversity, need for courage. It's kind of like just if you are privileged, completely privileged, and you've never had to go through any difficulty, I'm not sure if you can have good character. I know people like that. They are the most judgmental people because they think everything is easy. And I say this, and this is a good time to say this, I talk about a lot, is people that have existed in privilege doesn't understand lack of privilege. It's a flaw that they have. They don't get it. They think that it is really, truly a choice by everybody. And if you are in poverty, that's your fault. That's your choice. If you are whatever, you didn't go to college, that's your fault. It's your choice. I've heard people say, well, there's scholarships and everything. Nobody has everybody has the ability to go to college. No, everybody does not have the ability to go to college. Everybody it is not equal. We are not in an equal position. There are people that are born in this life that are just have to claw deeper to get out of that cave or get out of that hole. And it is because of their color of their skin only, or maybe it is the sexuality possibly. Maybe it is their handicap. Maybe it is a disability that they have. If they are upper class and white, they don't have to climb as high and go as hard. And it's just the way it is. And people of privilege in that group, white males, and there are white females that fit in that group less, but there are some that feel that it is truly equal. And if you want to get out of that mess and you want to do it, it's up to you. And you can. It is possible, but it is very, very, very difficult. And I've said this often and everything. There's been a lot of things that I've done personally over my life that I've succeeded at doing. And almost everything before I transitioned was because I was from a privileged white athletic world. And everything was easy, so to speak. It wasn't it wasn't real hard. Transitioning and then getting a job as a transgender person has been the hardest thing in the world for me to do. It was so difficult, and it was easy to get really, really good jobs before. Now, this is an isolated case that I'm speaking about, but there's a lot of us that experience that, and there's people of color that experience that, that have been experiencing that for hundreds of years. There's people of all sorts of diversity that have experienced that. It's pathetic, and the sad part is that nobody's going to get it that's in that privileged world because they live in that world. They don't see it. And I'm not sure it's their fault. I'm not sure you can get it in that world, in that rose-colored world, whatever it is. All right, so we're going to get to Gandhi here in a few minutes, but I want to just remind everybody that this coming up Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. is, that's the 17th of October, is our Trans Women National General Meeting. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands that the meeting location has changed. So, and we do not publicly announce the location. So, get in touch with us, email us, contact us on Facebook, and we'll get that new location to you. Hopefully, you'll and spread the word to everybody. So let me give me one more commercial on the call-in commercial. It's the same one as we did before, but I want to make sure you are aware that you can call in. If you're live, if you're listening to this archived, then I don't think calling in is going to help. So we'll be right back. Hey there, did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Archive is great. And remember, it would be good to hear from you. I know that we're starting this whole thing up again, and the listeners are building. Each time I notice that the listener base is getting bigger and bigger, and which is really, really cool. Tell people, tell your friends. Give us feedback, equipment-wise, how do you have trouble hearing things? Did you have trouble finding the show? Feedback that we can help other people listening. If you're listening to archive, that type of thing, you can listen on iTunes soon. I was hoping by now that you can listen to this, but there's all kinds of ways you can listen to it. You can join our newsletter, and then we will send things out on occasion. You just click on the newsletter, on the link, and listen to it on your phone. So it's pretty cool. So we are talking and some people that enacted some change in their lives, from Helen Keller to Eleanor Roosevelt, and now we're going to talk about Gandhi. And this actually started with me wanting to talk about the trans women change from Sienna to trans women. We're not going to probably get to that. We might get to it here a little bit. But and then doing some research and some different things, and one thing led to another, and I found this article that was written about Gandhi. And the article is actually written by a guy named Henrik Edberg. It's H-E-N-R-I-K-E-D-B-E-R-G. And it was written June 28th, 2013. It's been out a little bit. And it's from a blog, Daily Good News That Inspires, which is perfect. Inspiration is rarely through negative and hate. So some things that, and these are things that Gandhi said that initiated Henrik to create these 10 rules. So he titled it Gandhi's 10 Rules for Changing the World. And we're talking about changing the world like in the transgender world, and or the world as far as transgender, and as said, the other people as far as the unsighted and people with sight issues and can't hear with Helen Keller, and women's issues with Eleanor Roosevelt. So clearly, everybody understands a little bit of the Gandhi situation if you don't get a chance to read it. So here's his 10 rules. And, well, actually, he's got some quotes here. Henrik mentioned some quotes before he gets to the first one. I'm going to go to really kind of quickly. I don't think I'm going to comment unless I feel like I need to on any of them. It says, you must not lose faith in humanity. Humanity is an ocean. If a few drops of oceans are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty. My goodness, I have to comment on this. Oh, what I was talking about before. It's amazing. Here's a guy who lived over 100 years ago and is existing in this kind of stuff, and I think he's talking exactly what we're talking about. And this few drops of oceans, the world of Facebook is like this ocean. If a few drops of the oceans are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty. I think it's just so destructive to think that the world is that bad. I mean, the world is, there is so much positive. There's so many stories of transgender people that are transitioning or that are living a dual bi-gender world, or that it's gender fluid, or there's so many people that are happy and getting along, and families more and more accepting and stuff. And I know there's some pain out there that we have to be aware, but it doesn't dirty the ocean. So it's really, really cool. So he also says the difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. Very true. Next one, if I had no sense of humor, I would long ago have committed suicide. Okay? He says, Gandhi needs no long introduction. Everyone knows about the man who led the Indian people to independence from British rule in 1947. Okay, so this is some of the tips that Henry come up with. Number one, change yourself. That's his, Henrik's rule. But he uses some quotes from Gandhi. So that's how each one of them will go. So you must be the change you want to see in the world. You must be the change you want to see in the world. You want to be a negative bitch? Then you, if that's what you want the world to become, then I guess that's fine. Then be that person. If you want to be positive, you want to be uplifting, you want to help people, you want to look to see the good things in people, you want people to see the good in you, you want people to be nice to you, then look it for the good in them. And be nice to them. He also said, as human beings, these were quotes from Gandhi, as human beings, our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world, that is the myth of the atomic age, as in being able to remake ourselves. Very, very good. Remake yourselves. Pretty good. Okay, number two, you're in control. You are in control. It says, nobody can hurt me without my permission. It depends on emotionally, mentally, and stuff like that. Again, I by no means do I have even the minute ability to disagree, but I think just to clarify, I mean, I think he's talking mostly. I mean, people can harm you, people can shoot you, people can without your permission. And I know it's easier said than done, as we talked about before. But people that are trying to hurt you, trying to harm you, are not people worthy to pay any attention to. So that don't give them your permission to hurt you. Number three, forgive and let go. He says, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. He also says, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. So the first one, the weak can never forgive, I agree. I mean, forgiveness is very difficult to do. But if you can't forgive, it creates a situation where you're the one that's suffering. Not your lack of forgiveness doesn't make the other person suffer. Forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to condone what they did. Doesn't mean you have to like what they did or even give them another chance to do what they did or even give them the time of day, but just forgive what they did. Remove that of any kind of negativeness in your life. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The more you do it, the easier it gets. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. By the way, look it up. An eye for eye is not biblical. There is a phrase in there talking about eye, but it's basically talking about if the eye sins, then pluck it out. It's not. There is no such thing in the Bible for that an eye for an eye in a sense where someone hurts me, then I hurt them back equally. I think that's what eye for an eye means. Look that up. If you got any question about that, let me know. But I have looked that up because it doesn't fit the Bible. And I think that's what it refers to, and I agree with that. An eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind. That's a bad thing that somebody come up with, and just like everything, just because people try to pretend it's from the Bible doesn't necessarily mean it is. Gandhi, Henrik says, based on that, says you can't, where is it? Fighting evil with evil won't help anyone. It happens so often in our community, and just it's really, really bad. And I get it. I've been tempted to do it myself, but it just rarely does any good. Number four, without action, you aren't going anywhere. Gandhi says, an ounce of practice is worth more than a ton of preaching. Practice meaning practice is doing. An ounce of doing is worth more than talking. It's walk the walk instead of talking the talk. It's an ounce of the walk is more than the ounce and than the tons of preaching. So similar to what they was talking about before, what he was talking about before. Pretty good, pretty good. There's a lot of people who want to do a lot of talk but no action. Number five, taking care of this moment. Take care of this moment. Gandhi said, I do not want to foresee the future. I am concerned with taking care of the present. God has given me no control over the moment following. I do not want to foresee the future. I am concerned with taking care of the present. God has given me no control over the moment following. And I will say that when I talk about the thing is about a privileged world that I existed in at one time. And I really thought that everything that happened to me and everything I did, I really thought this was me. Maybe some God mixed in there. And I do believe that I was giving some blessings, there's no doubt. And probably more was given to me than I earned, if not everything. But I believed that hard work, which I had given hard work, paid off. And it was almost like equal, hard work equals success. And it happened. But it's not that way in a world that is not privileged. It is rarely that way. The world is privileged. I also thought that I had some control over the future. I thought that here's my plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. When I get my degree, I'm going to do this. If that doesn't work, I'm going to do this. And it worked pretty good. Then the gender identity thing kind of come into mix that confused everything and everybody else around me. But I felt like I had this kind of control. He's talking about, and it's true, and I think it was an illusion. I had no control. I thought I did, but I had none. And if you think you got some control over it, you're fooling yourself. You don't. Probably if you're under 28, 29, you probably think you got some control. But guess what? You don't. Number six, everyone is human. I claim to be a simple individual liable to error like any other fellow mortal. I own, however, that I have humility enough to confess my errors and to retrace my steps. He also said, it is unwise to be too sure of one's own wisdom. It is healthy to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wiser might err. Well, I say a lot of times, and we talk about all the time, we're all messed up. We are all messed up. We're all so many flaws into this that we're all human, and we just flaws everywhere. And I guess it's insecurity, and I guess it's one of the things is we have this tendency to feel like if we can make other people feel bad or we pretend to be high and mighty, then that maybe hides some of those things. And in fact, some people that are high and mighty, they actually think that they are there. But in reality, we are just one step away from being screwing up, making a mistake. And we make mistakes on a regular basis, whether we're going to look at it or not. And that we may, all of us may have some strengths and some stuff, and all of us may still mess up, and all of us have some weaknesses and still do some things really well. But we are human. And to expect ourselves to be perfect and others to be perfect is, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about giving up on America or giving up on human races because we have this delusion that people are perfect and we expect them to be. We're not. We're doing the best we can. And for the most part, we're doing it decent, doing pretty good. And we're going to keep trying. So it's unwise to be too sure of one's own wisdom. It's healthier to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wiser might err. Exactly. What Henrik says here, which is kind of pretty good, when you start to make myths out of people, even though they may have produced extraordinary results, you run the risk of becoming disconnected from them. You can start to feel like you could never achieve similar things that they did because they are so very different. So it's important to keep in mind that everyone is just human being, no matter who they are. Yeah, we kind of make people into superhuman into different things and stuff. And a lot of times it's people in those positions, whether it's from president to actors to athletes or everything, it's just a lot of times in the right place, the right moment. It's half of it is luck, and, you know, nothing special, and it just happens. And the difference between people, they're used to, there's a commercial one time, it was like, and I think this is somewhat true from what I understand, but about the greatest basketball player ever to walk the planet. Nobody knew who he was. And apparently he was just really, really good. And apparently people like Michael Jordan or some of these great players actually played in pickup games with him at one time. And he demonstrated how much better he was than these people. This is kind of a myth or whatever, but apparently some of this is kind of true. And the saying was the greatest basketball player never played professional basketball, never played college basketball. He couldn't get into college, and so therefore couldn't get into professional basketball. I don't remember if it was something that happened academically. It didn't things, but I think that happens a lot of times. Maybe the greatest leader never got the opportunity to lead. The greatest baseball player never got the opportunity to even swing a bat or throw a ball. The greatest singer never had the opportunity for anybody to hear him. There is a certain amount of luck to this. Number 7, persist. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then they win. Then you win. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. Be persistent in times of opposition around you. You'll fade and fall away. This is Henrik talking after that quote. It was Gandhi's quote. Said, they ignore you, then they laugh at you. Then they fight you, then you win. That's Gandhi. And then Henrik says, be persistent in time. The opposition around you will fade away and fall away. And your inner resistance and self-sabotaging tendencies that want to hold you back and keep you like you have always been will grow weaker. Find what you really like to do, then you'll find the inner motivation that keeps going, going, and going. The persistence is really, and we're talking about a lot of times in the trans community and stuff, and this is really, really good, is that your passion is what you got to use your passion to lead you to that point. But if they ignore you, then they laugh at you, and then they fight you. Each step of the way, realize that that's a progress, at least the Gandhi says, that's going to lead to success. They're not going to laugh at you or definitely not try to fight you. And I'm not saying that maybe physically fight you, but try to fight like what we're going through right now with all the stuff, is if they don't think of you as a threat, and maybe that's what they have to go through. I personally can't talk too much about this, but that's what Gandhi says. Number 8, see the good in people and help them. Gandhi says, I look only to the good qualities of men. Not being faultless myself, I won't presume to probe into the faults of others. There's somebody said something recently on that, is that it's kind of difficult for me to judge other people unless I have, you know, lived their lives. The same type of thing. Not being faultless myself, I won't presume to probe into the faults of others. Gandhi also said, man becomes great exactly in the degree in which he works for the welfare of his fellow man. And he said, I suppose leadership at one time meant muscles, but today it means getting along with people. It just is amazing. And so many things in here we can listen to and trying to get along with people. And again, I've said this a few times, a little controversial. I know that I aggravate people a lot on some of the things I say, but it is my opinion that a lot of people in the transgender community, they used to call it in the 60s as a nonconformist. There were a lot of nonconformists in the 60s. They didn't conform to things just for the sake of not conforming. And there are a lot of transgender people that are like that. They don't want to conform because they're fighting society. They feel society is the enemy. And the problem is there is some aspects of society that is creating that. But society exists. and it exists to most people, 95% of the world, at least in our country, in a way that people are used to. And if you're fighting that, you're fighting 95% of the people. And maybe there are a few of us, few people that need to fight this, but if you are completely non-conforming, it will bite you and will fight you, and you probably won't get through it, at least not very well. And I still think, and I use this example all the time, but it's like fighting a riptide. If you've been taught how to fight a riptide, you're out in the ocean, you don't go exactly completely against it. You go left and right. You go sideways. And you can't fight it that way. You can't fight it head on because it's too strong. You go and then you can kind of beat it. You got to be non-conforming because that's where we are. We're not conforming to the norm, so to speak. But you can't fight it in their face. You can't fight it completely in that way. Most of us, there again, there can be some of our community that is going to be 100% non-conforming and really shake up the world, and that's great. But for the most part, a lot of us has to conform a little bit just to get along and just to get through there. And or we're just not going to make it. Cisgender people, binary people are not the enemy. And if we treat them like the enemy, that we've been treated like the enemy, it's not going to work. The enemy is people, is the lack of knowledge, is the ignorance. That's what we have to go against. That's what we have to fight. Not looking the bad into the people, we're just looking at the bad and what they believe to be true. We have to change that, not the people. Number nine, be congruent, be authentic, be your true self. Gandhi says, happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do is in harmony. Happiness is what you think, what you say, and what you do is in harmony. That's pretty good. And one of the things is, and that's kind of what we talk about in the transgender community, and I've referred to this a lot of times, is as a transgender person, and there are, if not dozens, there's hundreds, if not hundreds, maybe thousands of degrees of gender identity. And what I mean is, let's say you take a ruler or a spectrum, but you take a ruler and it's 1 to 12, and 1 being masculine, 12 being feminine. There is degrees of 1/8 of an inch, let's say, of all the way across, going from one end to the other, and there's people that exist in and around all of those locations. And there are people that are at the middle, at the 6, and there's people at the 9, and there are people at the 12, and there are people at the 1 and the 0. And the key, I think, of gender identity, at least way as society is, and at least in the way things are today in a conforming sort of way, maybe to those nonconformists, this is not the way, but in a conforming sort of way, is trying to match your gender identity to your gender expression based on that. So if your gender identity is on the 12 and 12 is the feminine side, then your existence probably needs to be happy closer into that area of how often and when and where you are on the feminine scale of behavior, not behavior, but expression. Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. So all these things are in harmony. So let's say you are in that 6, 7, 5, 6, 7 range. And that can be non-binary or it can be bigender. It depends on where you are in that type of thing. Let's say bigender, which is, I've got some friends that are bigender-ish type of people. They exist as both, depending on the situation. They refer to when they are presenting as a feminine role, with feminine pronouns and names and that sort of type of thing, and when they're masculine role, the masculine area. And they're happy in that area. I don't think, and talking to them, yes, in some ways being a perfectionist, in some ways they feel compelled that they have to do more. But I think if you are in that 5, 6, or 7 range, probably doing more, you're not going to be happy. Doing less, you're not going to be happy. You have to be in that kind of bi-gender type of existence. In my opinion, I think the world may go more that way in the future, into the non-binary maybe, or the bi-gender role, maybe not completely as the full, they'll be transitioning and transsexuals and post-op, I'm sure. But there's going to still be some, we got to get to the point in our community that we're very happy and accepting of people that just decide that they are bi-gender or non-gender or gender fluid in those areas. It's harder to get it, even for people, because a lot of us, like myself, especially if you're over a certain age, we are binary. It is harder to get it, but we have to accept those people. Happiness is what you think, what you say, what you do are in harmony. He also said, always aim at complete harmony of thought and word and deed. Always aim at purifying your thoughts, and everything well will be well. Pretty good. Number 10, continue to grow and evolve. Constant development is the law of life. And the man who always tries to maintain his dogma in order to appear consistent drives himself into a false position. Wow. I didn't read that before. That's really, really good. Yeah. It's kind of like we have to defend our dogma and feel like we can't change what we think, because we evolve and we change and we mature, and we have to be able to change into that situation. And it's kind of like the lock that political people get into these days when they first, at some point, they are held accountable for changing their view. And I'm not sure I like that. I think they should have the right to be able to change their view. It's called all kinds of negative connotations, but they're human. They're going to learn, and if you learn, it's going to change a lot of things you do. I would hate to say, if we want people to change, well, people that believe that transgender is bad, let's say, however you want to put it, if they learn that it is not, we would want them to express that and not continue to say that it's bad, even though to look like they're consistent. What is it I learned this long time in college, is that change and knowledge, or as you learn, you change. So you really don't want to stay the same. If you want to learn, you continue to change. Henrik says, you can pretty much always improve your skills, habits, or reevaluate your evaluations. You can gain deeper understanding of yourself and the world. So those are the 10 rules of Gandhi. And again, as associated in my view, by no means the view, just a view, my thoughts on how that relates to the transgender community. Okay, let's see. So I think what I'm going to do at this point is take a little bit of break. I want to make sure that I've got everything taken care of. I'm going to play the banquet commercial again and make sure you're aware of that. I'm going to get some events, what's coming up, and some information so you're aware of what's going on around here. So I'll be back in a second. Hello, this is Holly, and I'm reminding you about this year's Trans Women National Banquet. Wait, you didn't know about it? What is our first annual awards banquet during the Louisville Transgender Week of Awareness in November? It will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville with none other than the internationally famous Dr. Marcy Bowers as our keynote speaker on November 21st at 6:30 p.m. We are pleased to announce that Brian Buford and Chris Hartman will receive our very first Ally Award, and Dawn Wilson will receive our very first TWN Purple Butterfly Award. Jason Gardner and Simone Taylor will be our MCs for the evening, of which will be worth the ticket price alone. The banquet will be held at the gorgeous Banquet Hall at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville, and our reception will be at the top of the Hyatt in a breathtaking revolving restaurant called The Spire. Tickets are on sale now. please go to our website at transwomennational.org for more information. Thank you, and hope to see you there. Okay, welcome back. I got a couple more things before we get out of here, and I appreciate you listening for this hour and a half. I went a little bit longer than I thought, but some really good stuff. I hope that you enjoyed it. I don't know if you noticed there's a lot of consistencies of the three. I felt that they had a lot of similar things to say, just a little bit differently, and pretty good stuff. Again, if you want to get a chance to research any of the three, and you probably, most of you know a lot about all three of them anyway. So some things coming up I want to make sure you're aware. So the first event that I want to kind of promote is called the Louisville 2015 Louisville LGBT Film Festival. It's this weekend, October 16th to 18th. And they got a bunch of films, LGBT films. We went to, some of us went to them last year, some really, really good films. That's where a lot of us saw Boy Meets Girl. It's a movie, transgender-themed movie, outstanding movie, in my opinion, maybe, and probably the best, most positive, good-feel, trans-related movie I've ever seen, and I've seen probably most of them. But it was really, really, really good. So if you get a chance, Boy Meets Girl, that's really a good movie. That's where we saw. We actually met the actors there last year and the writer-producer, which is pretty cool. Got some pictures with them. So the festival pass is $45 in advance and $50 at the door. And you get all the movies, and I think individual sessions are $8 in advance and $10 at the door. So Friday, you got October 16th, is the first one, 8 o'clock, called Those People, featuring with Cage Short, sponsored on Those People is the name of it. And then Saturday at 3 o'clock, The Short Stack is a short version. So go to the Facebook, Louisville LGBT Film Festival. You can find information there. I think they have a website also, and you can get tickets there for the for that as well. If you've got any questions about it, need any more information about it, you can contact us, and we can relate you to it, because one of our officers is a board member of that that group. So we can get you information on that. Really, really cool. It's over at, if you're from the Louisville area, it's over at the Village 8 Theaters this weekend. So pretty cool. The next event is going to be this Saturday, and it's going to be a little conflicting with the theater, but this Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. is our October Trans Women National General Meeting, Trans Women National General Meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. And I want to make sure, I said earlier, that you are aware that our location has changed, and if you are not if you don't know where that has changed to, get in touch with us so we can let you know that where it is now. The another event is going to be in October 31st. That is a Halloween party, October 31st at Kai's in Jeffersonville. And that is a Family First Second Annual Fundraising Event supporting the Camp Quality Kentuckiana. And we did this show on with Julie last show talking about that. That's at 8 o'clock p.m. October 31st at Kai's, right at the entrance of 2nd Street Bridge on the Indiana side. That's really Kai's, K-Y-E-S. It's at 500 Missouri Avenue in Jeffersonville. It's a costume party, dancing, cash bar, DJ band, costume contest, door prizes, silent auction, 50-50, and some really good food all evening. Tickets can be purchased on the website. If you go to the Facebook page, you can find it there. If you need information, let me know, and we can get you in information about it. So pretty cool. Julie is the is running the thing, is one of my longtime best friends, and would be cool to see you there. So that's the second event, or third thing. The other one is going to be in November. We'll talk about between now and my next couple shows, probably. But I want to put a plug in there. It's Dining Out for Life 2015. It's on 11/18/2015, November 18th. That's Wednesday. And it's really cool. It's a fighting AIDS where you there's 60 restaurants that come together, donate 25% of their food and beverage sales to the House of Ruth for fighting AIDS. And I've done it a few times. It's really obviously a great cause. So House of Ruth, probably find information on their website. Go search for Facebook, Dining Out for Life 2015. Get information on that. All of these events and more is on the Trans Women National Calendar events. If you want to go to the Trans Women National website, that's www.transwomennational.org. And there is a calendar. It's underneath events. And we try to keep as much on there as we possibly can. If something's not on there, let me know and we can add it. And got any questions about anything, let us know. So with that said, I think that covers it for the evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, any comments about any of our shows, I would love to hear from you. From info@transwomennational.org as our website, or excuse me, our email, but you can contact us on our website also. Feedback, comments, suggestions, guests, that type of thing, just let us know. So I hope you enjoyed it. And with that, I will leave you with our closing, and I will talk to you soon. Hope you have a good evening. Good night. So that is our show for this evening, and I'm really happy you were able to join us. I would love to hear from you with any comments you may have, and there are many ways you can do that by going to our Contact Us page on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Don't forget you can subscribe to our shows on our Blog Talk Radio page and or subscribe to our shows on iTunes. You can also know that you can listen to any of our past shows on the Blog Talk Radio page on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. More information on this is on our transwomennational.org website. We will be here most Monday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, so I hope to hear from you soon, and trust where your heart takes you. Thank you.
It's been a long road getting from there to been a long time, but my time is finally here. That I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's my way, and I'm not gonna hold it down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down.